it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Third hour, Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Joe Rex Road, David Beauclair, Michelle Knezovic. And very happy to welcome in our next guest, TD Teron Davenport, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com, CraneWorks and RentalWorks, FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com, CraneWorks and RentalWorks, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. TD, how are you enjoying your bye week, my friend?
Hey, good morning. I'm enjoying it, man. You know, just relaxing. I guess Robbie goes and buys a house and he gets a day off, huh?
Yeah, couple. I mean, that thing better be beautifully furnished, you know. I assume we have a party this weekend over there?
Yeah, TD, we're having a playoff party there that Joe and I have just collaborated on. Robbie doesn't know yet.
Yeah, we're just going to crash. We're just going to crash it. So I'll give you the address. Actually, I'll probably just tweet the address, right? So that listeners can all show up.
Well, Robbie better be careful. You know, don't pull Drew Bledsoe. You know, David Beauclair, he's coming in. He's going to the job. So, hey, man.
That's right. The young spry David Beauclair, just like Tom Brady.
I was going to say, am I Tom Brady or Tony Romo, though? That I mean, Bledsoe got unseated twice. There's a big difference there.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of Tom Brady, TD, I want that game to be interesting. I don't know that it will be. I'd like Steelers-Chiefs to be interesting. Don't know that it will be. But tell me what really piques your interest the most about this weekend.
Man, it has to be that Raiders and Bengals game. And I think the Raiders actually have a chance to win that. And when you look at that pass rush, right, Yannick Ngakoue and Max Crosby, a guy who I really, really like watching play, you know, they could get after Joe Burrow. And Burrow has been sacked more than any other quarterback. So that's going to be a good matchup to watch. And I just want to see that trio of receivers, too. So that's the game that I'm really – really looking at, and if all of the top seeds win in the AFC, you know, that's who the Titans will likely face, and that'll be a good matchup. So I'm paying the most attention to that one.
Yeah, that's I'm big on that one. I just think it's great that we get Patriots Bills 3 in this round.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a blast. But if you're we've talked about this a lot this week, but you know, if you're the Titans and you get to just hand select, let's take the Steelers out of it. If you get to hand select your opponent from one of the other three teams, who would it be? Who would you pick if you had that choice?
Oh, that's tough, man. Bills, Patriots, Bengals.
But couldn't be the Bills.
Yeah,
it couldn't be the Bills. Yeah.
Okay, so you're talking about like actually happened, not just picking any
exactly
opponent.
Patriots, okay. Raiders, or Bengals exactly. Is basically what he's asking.
Yeah, yeah, got you. Wow. Man, that's a tough one. I want to say the Raiders, but they're hot, and that Daryl Hunter Renfro is a problem. I'm going to go ahead and say Patriots. I think that they match up well against them when they have a full clip in their shooter. I think they could definitely beat the Patriots. I think they match up well. So, yeah, that's the way I would go.
In the big picture, too, how big do you think that game is Saturday for the Bills? I mean, it's been one thing to win the division now a couple times without Tom Brady there in New England, but do you think – For the psyche of those organizations going forward, yeah, Buffalo can fire a real shot here?
Yeah, I think it's huge to that level of, like, the Packers finally beating the Cowboys, right? The Cowboys finally beating the 49ers, or the reverse, the 49ers finally beating the Cowboys. And I think it's to that level, honestly. And it's just like this is a moment where that franchise could really turn the corner as far as their history against the Patriots. So I think it's huge. I don't know that they do that. I can't trust a team that can't run the football. And that just is the bottom line. And that whole reliance upon Josh Allen to be perfect is not a formula that I think will work. And, you know, when you want him to pass the ball with precision and be your lead rusher, I don't think that works against Bill Belichick.
Before we get back in the playoffs, I did want to get your quick thought here, TD, on this David Culley thing, which is just, it's just mind-boggling to me. But also, like, you look at it also in context of, like, the Titans division. And, you know, you got the Colts now questioning who their QB is, but then you have the other two franchises are just, I mean, it's like they're trying to outdo each other for being the biggest joke in the league. How surprised were you by that? Do you feel like he was given a 1-year job all along and they have someone in mind?
That very well could have been the case. I was talking to Sarah Barship, and she kind of, that's ESPN's Texans reporter. And she gave me a heads up that, you know what, I'm writing a story on him getting fired because I think it's very possible. And I couldn't believe it, you know what I mean? Because it's just like, all right, what opportunity was this man given? Like, you took away Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt was gone, and he still managed to get the same amount of wins and got quality wins. And guess what? They didn't quit. Like, they played football for him all the way down to the last second of the season. We know that personally from watching them against the Titans, right? So I was surprised. It's just like, if you were going to fire him, what did you hire him for? I think one thing that is kind of like lying in the background, they didn't know that Brian Flores was going to be available. And, you know, from what I've been told, he's one of the top candidates for that Texans job. So overall, big picture, if Flores goes in there, I believe he could clean it up, but they still have to figure out what they're going to do with the quarterback situation, you know. So that's something that is going to be in the way for, I don't care if, you know, they bring whoever in there. It's going to be a tough job.
We all remember Pittsburgh winning a Super Bowl in Jerome Bettis' last game and whatnot. Is sentimentality and Ben Roethlisberger's last dance worth anything to the Steelers, you think, at this time of year and going into Kansas City?
I think it has some value to them. I think it does, but I have a hard time seeing them beat this Chiefs team. I don't see it. Now, that being said, anything could happen, but I don't think that the sentimental part of it will be what pushes them over the top.
Talking to Ron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and Crane Works and Rental Works. So, obviously, TD, we've talked a lot today about Derrick Henry and how he's looking. He's looking like Derrick Henry out there running around. I mean, it all looks very favorable. But in terms of, you know, workload and just how you approach this game, if you're Mike Vrabel, if you're Todd Downing, and his availability and how you want to weave him in and, you know, maybe mix in more Foreman or whatever, like, how would you view that?
Yeah, I think everything is a gradual build-up, and that's including getting him ready to play. Because if you notice, last week, you know, he was out there, but not full speed, just kind of like going through it. But then on Wednesday when we got to watch him, it was ramped up a bit. You know, so I think that's what they're going to continue to do. And that being said, you have a pretty solid tandem in Foreman and Hilliard. You don't have to give Henry 30 carries, and I wouldn't do that. I could see a 10 to 15 carry range, maybe a couple screens to mix in there. I could see that being the case, you know, in the divisional game. And then if they get to the AFC Championship game, I could see it being ramped up. And then the Super Bowl, you know, all bets are off. Let's go. You know, and I think that's kind of like the approach that they'll have. And it's actually good because, you know, these next couple games, if they are to make it to that championship game, are going to be on the grass. And the surface is much more forgiving and better for a foot, you know, that he has to, you know, work through. So that's the way I think it's going to go. But the big thing I think for him is going to be him mentally being able to not be concerned about cutting off of that foot and doing those type of things. And we know that he's a guy, especially in his own scheme, you got to plant on that foot, you got to cut it back, and you know, a lot of times that's what leads to house calls for him. So that's going to be something to watch.
We saw Julio Jones have a good game in Seattle in week two and then not much for a while after that. Why should people feel like his performance in Houston is a sign of things to come in the playoffs, or should they feel that way?
Yeah, you know, I wrote about this on Tuesday, and I asked Ryan Tannehill about it on Wednesday, and there were three throws that made me like, you know what, I think there is something brewing there. And the first one, well, there was a tight window throw in the middle of the field. I mean, there were like two or three defenders, and Tannehill still was like, hey, I'm going to get it in there to him, and he got it, and it was a completion. And then the third and six in the first quarter, the trips were on the right side, and Julio Jones was the number three, and he ran a quick speed out, and Tannehill put it ahead of him a little bit to the point where he could catch it and turn it upfield. He caught it at about 5 yards and got an additional 8 yards after the catch. And then the touchdown, you know, that was one where, and Tannehill has repeatedly said that he was in the perfect spot. He was in the right spot. And he was able to put it on that back shoulder, kind of save him from getting blasted by Terrence Brooks. Those three throws showed me just like the confidence and the chemistry that they have going. And the thing you have to remember is Tannehill is a big trust type of quarterback, right? And he mentioned being in the right spot multiple times when he talked about Julio Jones on that. And I think that's the key. That trust, I think it's continuing to grow. And I've made the point before where, you know, this situation reminds me a lot of Corey Davis in 2019, you know, as opposed to the Corey Davis in 2020 when he was almost a 1,000-yard receiver. There just didn't seem to be that connection. And that's kind of what we saw with Tannehill and Jones throughout the year. And I guess just for the Titans' sake, you have to hope that, you know, what Davis and Tannehill were able to turn around in a year, Jones and Tannehill could turn around in a matter of months.
Tron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation, be on the preview show tonight, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com, CraneWorks and RentalWorks. TD, thanks a lot, and enjoy the weekend, enjoy the football, and we'll get back at it next week.
Thanks, TD.
Appreciate you guys. And Beau Claire, don't do it to Robbie. Don't do it. I need you to scale it back just a little bit.
I don't want this job. I got to get up too early here.
All right, so Robbie's safe.
There you go. For now. Thanks, TD. And this is Two Tone Blue at 8, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electrical, and Toyo's Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Restoration. Talking Two Tone Blue at 8 o'clock hour through the playoffs here. And when we come back, we're going to react a little bit to what TD had to say, get a little bit more into the Titans' potential matchups in the postseason. Robbie and Rex Show, ESPN, 1025 The Game. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Road. Two Tone Blue at 8, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electrical, Toyo's Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Restoration. If you want to get in the conversation, phone or text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Also, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Back in here reacting to Teron Davenport the Derrick Henry discussion that we've been having. David, what do you think about that? What do you think about the game-by-game ramp-up? See, I like the idea. I like you said earlier, it's like,
yeah,
it's a good plan, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, 22's got to carry the mail every play.
Just keep giving it to him. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think they probably do have a plan in place, but when you get in that game, it's going to be, we got to win this thing now. We'll see how he feels tomorrow and worry about it then. He's just too much of a difference maker. And if he goes out there and he looks like the Derrick Henry that we all remember, I don't know how you're going to be able to say, you know what, I know we're down by three, but we said we weren't going to give him the drive to start the second half. So keep him on the bench. You're just not going to be able to do that. I just don't believe that this staff will be able to.
Well, and
I don't think he'll let them.
Well, there's that too. He's going to want to play. And look, I mean, it is if you're 100% and you're fully cleared and you're healthy. I mean, yes, ideally. You take a few more months and you don't do anything on the foot, and you just increase your chances of like full healing. But if you're, I mean, I suppose you could say, okay, but if that's the math, then the math also would be like 10 fewer carries still gives you better odds.
There's no Super Bowl Sunday 6 months from now, you know, and you can't say, well, let's put them on the shelf and, you know, we'll do what we can and try next year. Like, I mean, if you've got an opportunity to win the Super Bowl, go. You know, you've got to go for it. And I'm fully of the mindset that there's a lot that it's fraught with risk. That this is not a slam dunk. That A, he comes back and plays great. B, that he's not going to get hurt again. I don't believe that. But I believe at this point, given where this team is, what it's accomplished, you have to take that risk now.
Yeah, and from Derrick Henry's perspective, look, obviously you want the longest possible career you can have. You want to extend your career. You want to get to the next contract. You want longevity. You want to minimize risk and all that stuff. But also, I mean, if you're talking about, we still talk about Eddie George and his Hall of Fame chances, which a little bit of a crack there, a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel this year. But, you know, I don't know that he's going to end up in Canton. But what is always said about Eddie George? I know I've thought this, and I may be wrong, but, like, if that end of that game had gone a little bit differently, would his resume be markedly different? Would he have any kind of significantly better chance just because he would have a ring? I think some players – you don't think so. You don't buy that.
Not in Eddie's case. I think Eddie never led the league in rushing. Eddie has accomplished some really interesting things in terms of durability and consecutive 1,000-yard seasons to start a career. And, you put him in some really good company when you start talking about those things. But never led the league in rushing. Never led the league in rushing touchdowns. Never was offensive player of the year. At some point you have to be the best.
Exceptional.
You know, Eddie was terrific. And people forget. I've forgotten. It's funny, like when I see highlights from 98, 99, 2000, Eddie was a much more dynamic runner than I even remember. But what happened to him, right? He got a toe injury and was never the same guy after that and turned into much more of a plodder. And that's kind of how we all, I think most of us think, that's the first thought that comes to mind with Eddie, and that's why he is. You know, I think Steve McNair's case would be much different.
Yeah,
had they won the Super Bowl because McNair was so heroic on that last drive, and still holds the record, Super Bowl record for rushing yards by a quarterback. I mean, he did a lot of really dramatic things in that game. And you add to that the fact that, you know, the co-MVP in 2003, first black quarterback to win the MVP, those sorts of things. Like there's some distinguishing characteristics of his career there that I think the Super Bowl might have made a bigger difference for him.
But as it relates, to Derrick Henry, to me, when you have these opportunities, you just don't know how many more you'll get.
Right.
I mean, look, he's already on a clear path to Canton, largely because of what happened in the postseason 2 years ago. You were talking earlier in the show about the hamstring. I mean, he takes a week off, he comes back out, and he goes on one of the best three games runs we've ever seen between the Texans game at the end of the season and the two playoff games, right?
Right. Yeah.
So this is, I mean, when you talk about like legacy, this right here is massive. And so that to me, obviously, and plus, I mean, Derrick Henry is a team guy. Derrick Henry wants to win a Super Bowl. So like to me, and I assume we're going to get him next week at some point. But by the way, are we getting him next week at some point?
I don't know.
Maybe not.
If they don't activate him till the day before the game, they're not going to be in a hurry to. And you know he's not in there saying, "Oh, I can't wait to go talk to the media. I just so look forward to that.
I miss Kaharski so much. Can I please at least like? Can I FaceTime Kaharski? No. But So regardless, whatever he says, like. He's a team guy. He wants to win, and so to me, he's got to be like, give me the ball every chance you
absolutely.
Give me the ball.
And
go
and
through
Mike,
all
you know,
this work.
Mike Vrabel says it all the time, right? That they're not going to put a guy back in there if there's a chance he's going to hurt himself. Like there's always a chance to get hurt on the football field, but it's not like the doctors are going to be telling the Titans, well. The foot's going to go again at some point. It might be after 30 carries. It might be after 300. We don't know, but it'll be, you know. Then it's a different discussion, right? But there's nothing to say that, oh, yeah, the foot's going to go again. I mean, so that at that point, that's when the Titans say, yeah, he's playing, and we expect him to be available for whatever we need him to do. The ideal situation is – you're up 20 in the third quarter, and you can start handing the ball to Deontay Foreman a whole lot and get him a rest that way. But playoff football rarely works that way.
Hard to plan. Yeah, hard to plan on that. What did you think? What do you think about what TD said about Julio Jones and the Corey Davis comparison and you know the prospects for him here moving forward?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, and I asked the question because I think Julio might be. The ultimate X factor here, right? I mean, defenses know about Derrick Henry. They're going to address him. Defenses know about A.J. Brown. They're going to address him. The Ravens were able to handle both of those guys last year in a playoff game and put the Titans out. Julio Jones is a guy who can sort of – he can sort of step into that void and say, okay, if you're gonna deal that heavily with those two guys, look at what I'm gonna do. I mean, he can take advantage of a defense the way I'm sure not many teams have a second wide receiver can, and that's provided it's the Julio Jones we saw in week 2 and in week 18. You know, there was a whole lot of lesser Julio Jones we saw along the way, and a whole lot of times we didn't see Julio at all. So I think it's imperative that he stays healthy and stays productive for this team. He can be that difference maker that we all kind of imagined back in June when the trade was made.
Yeah, I mean, back then I was still imagining, gosh, what if he's still Julio Jones from Atlanta? Which I've step back from that. I think we all have to some extent, right? Like he just hasn't looked that dynamic much at all. But I think that's an interesting stat. ESPN Stats and Info, and I don't know how much you really give Julio credit for this, but 7 yards a play when those three are together, you know, the tops in the NFL this year is 6.1. So,
right.
And we have seen so little of it, but the whole pick your poison thing, I think the Chiefs game was an example of. They're all out there. They're all making some plays. What do you do?
Right.
Yes. I think X Factor is a very good way to put it for Julio Jones. All right. We're going to come back. We're going to talk some Preds with Terry Crisp. Also, if you'd like to win a pair of tickets to WWE Friday Night SmackDown at Bridgestone Arena 1 week from tonight, Friday, January 21st, be the, Michelle, third caller. 615-737-1025. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Show at ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game in the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Joe Rex Road, David Beauclair in for Robbie, Michelle Knezovic. We're going to pivot to the Preds. Very happy to welcome in. Don't do it?
Don't do it.
Don't introduce Crispy?
Nobody wants to hear from this guy.
Oh, maybe I'll just let you and Chris be going at each other then. Terry, Chris, Preds TV analyst. This is, you know, he's having his farewell tour, and David Beauclair just wants to dunk on him on the air. Crispy, your response.
Well, put it this way. Sheila and I, my wife and I, have to, and do this from the bottom of our hearts, thank David Beauclair and his wonderful wife, Tammy, who are two best friends, along with Pete and Claudia, for introducing us to the city of Nashville, showing us where to find a house to live, where we've lived there since we got here, and have been our constant companions from day one. So I'm looking at this morning as just, I'm so honored to have prime time company with David Beauclair. I mean, not many people get this luxury or get this honor. And I'm sitting here, you guys can't see it, cause it, but I'm in tears. I'm really in tears.
So full of malarkey. Goodness gracious.
So when you moved to town, Crispy, David Beauclair, was he got you, the Beauclairs, I should say, because we know the better half is absolutely Tammy, got you settled into the city, huh?
Yeah, the funny thing was, when I flew up the first game to do the first game with Petey, Sheila didn't come with me. She was busy with down yonder. And the second game also, but in the meantime, I met David and I met Tammy at the games, because I didn't know anybody, and David was nice enough to come and talk with me, and went to the games with them. And I went back home and I said to Sheila, my wife, I said, there's a young lady up there, honey, you have to meet. You have to meet her and be with her. And it was Tammy. And Sheila came up. Tammy was gracious to meet her. And they've been inseparable ever since.
They are a team.
I had no idea.
They are quite a team, yes.
Well, speaking of teams, now there's a segue for you. Crispy, I did not anticipate the team from Buffalo coming in and beating the team from Nashville last night. Although, as it was unfolding, I did. I mean, I thought to myself, this is human nature, right? Like, you can talk about it and say, you know, you can't let it happen and all that stuff. But when you have an emotional, and I don't want to make excuses, but when you have an emotional game, and a game you know was huge two nights earlier, and you have a team coming in that just, you know, frankly, has been one of the worst teams in the league for many years, it has to be difficult to turn it around. Or am I being too easy on them?
No, you're not being easy. You're being very realistic. And you know the balloon's going to pop. You know it's going to happen some night. We just prefer to have it happen on the road against a team that, you know, is out and running. But you knew it was going to, and Buffalo is a young team now. They've modified their team drastically, brought in some good guys on trades, and they're still not where they want to be, but you had to know that they got pride, and they got guys who want a job, they got guys who want a paycheck, and that was all stressed by our coaching staff, I know it. But I think the best thing was last night, at the end of that game, Kara got to interview Ekholm, and it was probably the best interview I have heard in years for a team that had just lost a game such as the one we're describing last night against Buffalo. And he was right to the point, not bitter, not mad, but right to the point, saying, I'm not here to make excuses. He says, I'm just here to lay out the fact that we didn't play our game. We didn't show up. He said, well, I'm taking nothing away from Buffalo. He had the perfect interview, and everything he said was right online, right matter of fact, and so good and so apropos for a professional to say, give Buffalo credit. Don't give us any credit, because we know we didn't play well. We didn't play our game. We didn't forecheck. We didn't do this. We had little breakdowns, but it's not the end of the world. He says, we know that. We'll correct it, and we'll be back. But if you get a chance, any of the fans out there, listen to that interview.
So you've coached in this league then, too. You know, rational thought tells you all those things. You know, over the course of an 82 game season, you're not gonna be at your best every night. But it's John Hines waking up this morning saying, okay, that happened, we're just gonna move on? Or does he wake up in a bad mood and does he put it to the guys in practice today?
No. He wakes up saying, you know what? You guys have worked your heads off. You worked your buns off for the last 2 months. We gave you accolades, you got credit from the fans, the press, everybody, and it was well-deserved. And we're going to have a game like this. And I'm going to go back again, and I love this thing because I got it from Scott Hamilton, who we all love here in our city. And he always says it's not how hard you fall, but it's how fast you get back up. And that'll be what the coaches are saying to his team. You guys are a good team. Hey, we lost one. We laid an egg. We know that. Okay, let's face facts. We're going into Boston, one of the best teams in the NHL. We know what we're made of. We know what we're capable of. Let's get back to it. No, they won't. The coaches will handle it like, you know what? The bubble popped. They weren't happy. I'm sure Coach Hines said last night, guys, you know, probably he didn't even say anything after the game last night because the guys themselves in that dressing room, a la Mathias Ekholm, know exactly what should be said and what has to be done.
Talking to Terry Crispred's TV analyst. Crispy, Mr. Beauclair here had a good point earlier talking about the Preds. You know,
it was lucky. It was just a lucky mark. It doesn't happen very often.
He stumbles into one every now and then, you know. but the defensive zone coverage at times, you know, I don't know what the word is. The word just a little bit too discombobulated, disorganized at times? It just seemed like we saw that a little bit last night. Do you see that as something, if you want to go down the list of things, okay, this and this and this can be better, would you have that on the list?
Yeah, you know, it would be. It would be in my coaching list would be, simply because the way teams attack now, and it's throughout the league, not just one or two teams, all the teams attack. They come in waves, and they come fast and hard at you. And I think that if you're going to match them, you have to come just as fast as hard. I don't think you can play defense anymore in this league posting up. Like Willie Donick gave me that phrase way back when I came here to Vanderbilt basketball and was asking Willie 100 questions about posting up. And posting up means you come back into your zone, but you should come back with a purpose. You can't just stand and hope that they don't make a good pass or they don't make a good shot, because every team is capable of making those quick passes and making those great shots if given time. So my motto is this: don't give them time. To heck with them. They don't have got the right to stand around the corner and look for a good pass. They don't have the right in my zone to receive a pass and have the choice of shooting, skating, or passing it, because I want somebody in their face. I'm a strong proponent in the defensive zone. You go after him. And if he moves the puck, you take him out. You ride him out. You don't let him get back on a given goal. Or if the puck was out to the puck, I don't know. I haven't coached for a lot of years. But I still say that everything comes from the points. All your plays in the game now, if you watch a hockey game, most of your big plays are coming from the point man. That's why they're so valuable. Your Yossi's, your Makaras, down the line. Why wouldn't you take them away? Why wouldn't you say, no, you two guys out there, you're not getting anything tonight. We're going to be halfway out on you. And if the play is made, we're going to finish the other half so fast you won't even know we're getting there as the puck gets there. To me, the defensive zone now is the key in winning hockey. Everybody knows the offensive zone is fun. It's scoring goals. It's going to the net. It's tipping. The defensive zone is where you show your power.
Well, Crispy, I did want to, you know, since obviously we haven't talked to you since the Tuesday game as well. How good was that game in your eyes? You know, and even like looking at that game through a coach's eyes, did that game tell you something that you can carry forward about this team?
Last night's game, you mean?
No, I'm talking Tuesday's game, the win over the Avs.
Oh, you know what? That was a shot. That was our litmus test. Everybody said it. We said it. We felt it. A lot of people would not have said it because coaches can't, because they got to play another 30-some, 40 games or whatever. So you can't all hinge on one game. But in your heart and your mind, you knew everybody was picking the Avs to be the Stanley Cup Finals, might even win it at the start of the season, and rightfully so. And they're still one of the best teams in the NHL. But our team, the way they played, that's the one game that I would have on video. And if things got a little rusty, a little down, I'd bring the guys in and show them highlights of that game, how we beat the Avs, because everybody that pulled on that jersey that night for the Preds did his part, did his share. And we did something that a lot of teams couldn't do. The Avs have been notorious this year for going down 2-0, 3-0 to teams, and in the third period come back and just roll them right over top of them. Well, you saw our game. We led to come back. We led. We stayed toe-to-toe with them the whole way. went into the overtime toe-to-toe with them. And Mr. Duchesne, Mr. Power Play right now, got that goal for us. That's our team. We were good enough to do that. And everybody said, well, Landeskog is out and Forsberg's out. Okay, be that as it may, that's a saw-off. But the rest of the two teams, they went toe-to-toe that night.
Terry Crisp, Preds TV analyst, has been our guest. And Crispy, look, I wanted you to know, too, you know, Robbie Stanley bought a house this week, so I'll give you details soon on the kegger that he's about to host. It's gonna be a wild. It's gonna be like the, you know, it's gonna be like the Broad Street Bullies back in the '70s type party. Okay, so be ready.
See, you're warming the cockles of my heart. I can see David Beauclair right now. He has got a grin from ear to ear because he's a Philly boy. And, you know, he was only 3 years old then. So his grandfather told him, thank you, gentlemen. David, behave. Take care of Tammy for us. And, guys, always a pleasure. And tell all our fans, hey, no big deal. And also, by the way, go Preds and go Titans. Tighten down.
See you, Crispy.
Thanks, Crispy. Terry Crisp, Preds TV analyst. And we come back, we're going to react a little bit to Crispy and talk Preds as they enter a big one in Boston tomorrow. On Robbie and Rex Show, ESPN. What's about the game? Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Road. Here from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Like to let you know, you should join 102.5 The Game tomorrow for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. Drink specials, enter to win Preds tickets. And watch the Preds take on the Boston Bruins. The Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South, downtown. Puck drop, noon tomorrow. And David, I had no idea that, first of all, that you and Crispy, that you basically, you're responsible for Crispy. You may be responsible for Crispy. You know, I know he's told me the story about how, yeah, come for a little bit, and, you know, sure, we'll help out a little bit, help Jerry Helper. Little bit. By the way, it was cool to see Jerry Helper honored last night.
Yes, it was.
That was very cool at the Preds game. Of course, Buffalo's own Jerry Helper. So the right game, probably not the result he was hoping for, but that was cool. but Crispy did not plan to, you know, I guess anchor down here would be one way to put it, but he did. So is it because of the Beauclair's friendship?
Well, clearly. Yeah. No, I mean, he when you know, he was only a year out of coaching when he came here, and he was thinking he was going to get back into it at some point, and then decided that, you know, as time went on, decided that he really liked the TV gig, and, you know, early on, obviously was on the road with the team, you know, spent a lot of time with Barry Trotz as sort of an occasional, not advisors, probably not, the consultant would probably be a better word. So he was able to think the game still, and he just, yeah, as most people do when they come to Nashville in the last 20 years, nobody leaves now. Everybody comes, nobody leaves. He's just they're just typical of that.
So. Yeah, and it's been to Nashville's benefit.
Yeah,
without question. So, what about what Crispy said? You know about this team. About, you know, I mean, I think until we see teams go through ups and downs. Obviously, teams get hot, teams get cold. It's amazing how confident it seems like one time, sometimes just one game, all of a sudden, boom, you just build on that and you go on a run. But it can happen the other way, too. It can happen the other way, too, where you just, you know, some things go wrong, you lose a little something, you lose a game, and all of a sudden the confidence goes the other way. It's amazing to me when collective confidence seems to rise and fall like that, but it does. So what's your concern level, you know, beyond just, well, they had a stinker and kind of a trap game last
night. Yeah, I think he makes a good point that, you know, because even during a 16-game NFL season or a 17-game season now, we see it all the time that you know, you have a stinker there. The, you know, Titans lost to the Houston Texans. The 1999 Titans on their way to the Super Bowl got blown out 42-14 at Baltimore. I mean, you have these games. I think the important thing, probably, I think he's right about this. The important thing is that one of those games doesn't become two, and it doesn't become three. I mean, the important thing is to get right back on your game, and you know, a really good Boston team, I think, will have their attention going back up there, and is probably a pretty good opponent for, you know, a response to what happened last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an idea, like you said earlier, the history of the Preds there is not great. I mean, it's just off the top of my head, you know, in the 6 years of really paying close attention, I can't remember too much success against Boston anywhere. It doesn't seem, you know.
They just seem to be one of those teams, yeah, that I don't know what it is.
But big opportunity to, you know, to turn it around, you know, get right back in the winning column. I mean, look, when you perform the way the Preds have performed, you put yourself in a situation where you are watching the standings to some extent, even now. Long way to go. I mean, you know, they've played 38 games. I'm presuming they're going to get all 82 in, although maybe not, but they're going to try, but they're going to get close.
I mean, not having the Olympics helps now. You can fill in games there, so, and I'm sure the league will do that.
But, you know, you're sitting there, you're still tops in the Western Conference with 50 points. Definitely worth pointing out that, you know, the Avs have 5 games in hand on you and are 3 points back. So,
right.
You know, the Avs still at 22-8-3. You know, if they get those games in, I mean, they still look to me like the best. I mean, I think they're the best team in the West. I think if they put it together, if, you know, the goaltending is the one thing you look at with them.
Have to imagine them making a move at or near the deadline.
Is there anyone beyond, because, you know, Willie was talking the other day, Willie Donick on Darren Donick and Chase, about Marc-Andre Fleury, which as soon as he said that, I'm like, oh, my gosh, imagine that.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Imagine the hellfire they could rain down on people in this league. I'm trying to think, is anybody else out there comes immediately to mind as to, you know, a team that might be willing to shop someone who would be a clear upgrade over Darcy Kemper?
Yeah, not immediately
he's,
to mind.
He's perfect.
I mean, Fleury, yeah, Fleury is perfect.
With the season that those guys are having, which is just massively disappointing, by the way. I mean, if you're a Titans/Preds fan, you got to really enjoy, you know, looking at, like, the Blackhawks, who were so hyped going into the year, and then also you got, like, your Jacksonville-Houston, you know, Indy triangle of suck in various levels that you get to enjoy, too. So, but, you know, for the Preds, I mean, you're 24-12-2, you know, 13-6-2 away, which is very impressive to me. They've just been a very good road team. And I don't, you know, sometimes you see that with teams. I know that in this league, home road it's not as big an advantage as in other sports or stark a contrast, but that's still a good number.
And one thing John Hines does particularly well is, you know, matchups. And matchups are harder to get on the road. And I think he thinks it a lot more. I think that's one of the bigger changes from Peter Laviolette. Like, Laviolette was like, I'm going to put my best guys out against your best guys, and we'll work down the roster from there, and I feel like, you know, my roster is going to prove to be better than yours. You know, Hines seems much more interested in, okay, we've got a traditional third line, and I'm going to use it this way in this game and a different way in a different game, depending. But the fact that, you know, the fact that you can get matchups you want and make them work for you in road games, I think speaks a lot to what he's able to do right now, and part of the reason that this team does have the record it does.
Well, and part of, like, kind of what Hal Gill was talking about too the other day is this team's a little bit more, I don't know if matchup proof is the way to put it, but they're not, you know, they're kind of constructed in a way to not be completely exposed like you can be sometimes with last change on the road.
Because there's, you know, it is like the herd line is a traditional sort of third line where, you know, they're hard and they're going to grind on you, and they're sort of checking first, scoring second, but they can score, and they can, you know they're not just retreating to their defensive zone, say, we'll meet you down here. We're going to keep you at bay. I mean, they're attacking, and that's, you know, that it's one of those things. In a lot of ways, the Predators have talked about that sort of approach almost the entire time they've been around, and they've rarely, if ever, been able to do it as well as they do right now, and have a group like that that you really think of as a defense physical line, but that can really consistently produce points.
Yeah, I mean, look, it ended up being taken off the board, but Hines comes right out with those guys, and they go right into the forecheck, and boom, you get a beautiful goal from Colton Sissons. To your point, I mean, they're more than, you know, just a hard line. It's been fun to watch. And of course, on that front, we're going to find out possibly today, you know, Forsberg, Trennan, these are two guys who on the COVID list right now. So that'll be some news to track today. In the meantime, we're going to get a break and come back and get into the Titans. By the way, Jeremy Gover on Twitter says the Titans and Packers are the sexy Super Bowl picks on GetUp right now. Oh, you don't want the Titans to be – you want the Titans to be talked down about.
I was going to say, I just read something on ESPN.com a short while ago where they talked to a bunch of their NFL staff or experts or whatnot, and the Titans were getting a lot of love on there too.
Uh-oh. I don't know if that's a good thing. I know Titans fans get mad about the lack of respect, but I think the lack of respect is kind of a nice little – a little feather in the cap.
The Titans seem to enjoy it. The fans seem to really revel in it right now. It's but by the time we get to a week from now, people might be nervous about how much love this team is getting, depending on how the matchups go and whatnot.
Yeah, so we'll get more into that next. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.